From the Roots Up. CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto.
Welcome. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor, and with me is Phil Conlon. How you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
By the way, you'll be hearing from Phil again this week, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Classical Underground. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
I'm always trying to get familiar with that show. Look, I know why you're listening. What you tuned in today, see how you can help the great station, CIUT. And the way to do that is... call us up at 416-946-7800. But the easy way to help this great station is to go CIUT.fm and hit donate. And when you hit that donate, it'll say, for who? And you say, the Taylor Report. You got it. Now, look, we pride ourselves. We bring out news. We try to cover subjects, as you know, that people aren't familiar with or might have missed, or that the mainstream media deliberately arranged for you to miss. And so I'm going to just say, Phil, I don't know if you even know this, but we had a rally yesterday downtown Toronto at City Hall. Are you aware of that?
I was there.
You were there.
I was sitting at home reading a book.
You know what I was not aware of was that you were there.
Yeah. I was sitting at home reading a book, and my kids said, Dad, put your book down. We're going to the demonstration. And I thought, okay, well, years ago, it used to be the other way around.
So now you know that it is a mass movement.
Right.
So here's what, and you can correct the details as I go along, but we've been calling for a ceasefire, a permanent ceasefire, right, and a actual negotiated solution. And, you know, these are burning issues. I would say today's news, and I don't mean this day, but this period, is giving off sparks. I mean, we are watching something and experiencing something that is transforming people, and it has nothing to do with the paid propagandists or the talking heads. It has to do with humanity being shocked and scared and angry at events that are unfolding, and because this is the internet days, CBS and CBC can't close us down completely. We actually find out. I actually can't take the traffic. I don't know about you, but this is... I'm not somebody who can handle pictures of children who've been incinerated under bombs in a territory which has no air defense. And, of course, at any loss of life, particularly among civilians. But you can't unsee things, and people are seeing them. So, at any rate, this rally, if I understand, Phil, it was... they're estimating 25,000 people.
Right. I actually didn't realize it had gotten that large. And then it's only when I started moving out and I realized this is a lot. We arrived at 1 o'clock, right on the button. But by an hour later, it had really grown in size.
And they marched. Where'd they go?
They eventually went to Dundas Square. They went kind of in a circular route.
That's a new destination.
And I think their ultimate destination was the U.S. consulate, which is the right place.
Hometown.
That's right.
For anti-empire demonstration.
That's right. But I was really struck with how, there weren't marshals or anything like that, but just how well disciplined it was, and how focused the speakers were on the demand. We want a ceasefire, right?
Yeah.
And we want Trudeau and Bob Rae to stop fooling around and being flunkies and to do the decent thing, right? Because the other side is saying all sorts of horrible things.
I don't know who the other side is. There are people who want war.
No, the war side.
The war hawks.
Right. But I mean, I didn't hear like hatred or anything like that. It's just like, we just want this to stop. Just
right.
Stop doing this, you know?
Absolutely. No. Well, and also, it isn't just a cry for freezing things, but it's a cry to solve it. Because actually, most of us have lived... Actually, the people called pundits who get paid to produce malarkey at the Toronto Star or the CBC, they say, oh, this is so surprising. Well, no, it's not surprising. If you've been following the media and looking into this subject of the for peace in what the British call the Middle East, actually we call it
West Asia.
It's only called the Middle East because it means the Far East was the far east eastern end of the British Empire, and Palestine and Syria, Iraq, that was the Middle East of the Empire. So it actually is West Asia, but people do follow. I mean, after all, we have war. We've been having war and havoc in the region. You know, everybody says October 7. Yes, October 7. But have you been paying attention? Syria is bombed regularly, on a regular basis, almost daily. There's some kind of assault on them from either the United States or Israel, frankly. And Libya had its leader overthrown and the country destroyed by Hillary Clinton and co. And the Palestinian issue has been boiling because the West Bank, which was supposed to be Palestinian territory, has a settler movement that keeps tearing down olive groves and building houses when they were ordered not to do that, according to the international agreements. I'm going on because I want you guys to call up at CIUT.FM. Call us at 416. Read that number, Phil.
416-946-7800.
He did that very well.
Yeah, well, I've done it before. You kind of remember these things.
Where's your memory? What about that? The 888?
1-888-204-8976. If you're calling from anywhere else in the world that's not within the...
Now put your hand over your right eye.
Okay.
This is CIUT, the Taylor Report. We've been doing it. We're very, quite proud of it. Programming that brings stories and individuals to the attention of our listeners. And we know it's unique. We know that it... We believe in it, and we're very proud of all the people we've had, like Zafar Bengash telling us about what was going on in Pakistan. We had Elise Sabimana talking about the Kagame government and the loss of her father, who was a general in the Rwandan army, who was assassinated on April 6, 1994. She's written a book. These are matters that you... And individuals that you won't see or hear on mainstream media. Those two, absolutely not.
Never.
Though they're both wonderful and brilliant individuals. And the Taylor Report brings that to you. So go to CIUT.FM, donate, and help us build the standalone great station. We are standalone, but we are not lonely.
So, Phil, can we mention that labor news is not part of what the mainstream media does? They just don't care, right? Or they don't really want you to know.
Oh, do go on.
Yeah. Right. So we've gotten this, our good friend Tony Leah, who has really stepped up and become a correspondent about all of the developments inside UNIFOR and inside the UAW in the United States.
Oh, yes.
Which has really... change the channel on unions and strikes in the United States, and they're playing songs that haven't been heard in a couple of generations.
I think you're talking union songs.
Union songs.
Union activity.
Union activity. Absolutely. It's it's exciting, and it's
absolutely.
People are making breakthroughs, and of course, I love picking up the business page saying, "Oh, the workers think they've gotten away with something here, but they're going to pay for it in the end." And your guys can't get their dividends. And you know the world's going to end because
here we grass will grow in the streets if we give people a minimum wage.
Yeah.
Where's the incentive to get rich
right.
if people get a minimum wage?
I've heard this before, and because every time you demand anything,
well, that was Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, that's right.
Herbert Hoover promised grass in the street.
That's my father's time, and yeah, he heard it then too. They said, "Why are you bothering doing this union stuff? Don't you understand you're going to make the Depression worse?"
Yeah. What they meant by was, you will be more depressed. All right, listen, go to CIET.FM and donate. Donate big because, we've set the bar at 100,000, and we're playing in that league. We're going to make 100,000, but you got to help us out. CIUT.FM. donate, when it says donate, kindly mention the Taylor Report, if you would.
And now, and you know, there's a special thing this year that's come back. It's been away for a while, and the station's bringing it back. If you donate $500, you are going to be invited to
your own show,
to do your to program your own 2-hour show. So that's you'll be set up. You'll be assisted by the professional staff at the station, all the wonderful volunteers at the station, and I'm going to jump the gun on my show here. I'm going to double that offer for Classical Underground. Somebody who donates $500, I'm going to invite you to come on and do Classical Underground for 1 week.
If they, you mean for your show?
For my show. For my show.
Okay, so if they give you $500, they can do a show.
They can do a show anyway, but I'm going to let them have one on mine as well.
Oh,
that's two for one. So that's
all right. I'm trying to figure out how that works. Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Now listen, by the way, and again, CIUT.fm, I don't mean to keep this a secret. I want to share it with you. CIUT.fm and donate to the Taylor Report, if you would. And Phil, the eye test again is 946-7800.
416-946-7800 if you live in the center of the universe, by which we mean the 416 area code. Yeah.
Or if you're in Crimea, you can call us at 1-888-204-8976.
And listen, if you're listening from Crimea, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Because that's another place that our reporters won't tell us about. But we did have Dimitri Lascaris, who went there, and he came and talked to us.
You beat me to it. He actually saw a Russian nuclear submarine museum in the Crimea. And I hate to get off topic because he went there to talk about the war, but I said, a nuclear submarine museum. That's what stuck in my head. He probably shouldn't have mentioned it because that's what I think of. Again, it's Taylor Report. It is CIUT. And I still haven't reported on that demonstration, the part that I heard, Phil, and you can confirm. Mm-hmm. They were addressed by Fred Hahn. Mm-hmm. Matthew Green, Member of Parliament from Hamilton.
Yes.
Listen to this. Member of Parliament from Hamilton, Matthew Green, and bless his heart. Give full credit, please, to the NDP in Parliament. The Labour Party in Britain is expelling people for saying that. Can you get
the Labour Party in Britain is saying,
they are true blue imperialists.
Vote us in and we'll help bomb Gaza. Yeah.
By the way, the king has appointed, or our king, his highness, has appointed the man Peter Cameron, former PM, no longer in Parliament, but he's been appointed to be the foreign minister.
Yeah,
He's not a sitting member.
Yeah.
The British tradition is you have to be a member of the government. And you have to be elected.
But that's a tradition. There's actually no law that says you have to do that.
Emergency. Yeah, we need a real scumbag in there, and he can't get one elected. So the king, he does the scumbag work. I'll make him a lord or something. I think they made him a baron.
Baron
Cameron.
Spelled
B-A-R-R-E-N. Yeah. This is the Taylor Report.
Do people
CIUT.
Remember the stories about Cameron from his undergraduate days?
We can't repeat them
on the radio. They're too disgusting.
It's not only disgusting. If you actually say it, you'd violate some code of conduct.
Yes. But look it up, folks. Yeah. You'll
look it up. Yeah. Peter Cameron.
David. I think it's David.
No, it's David.
David Cameron.
Okay, I changed his name.
That's all right.
Cameron, yes, who's a blue blood, and
right. And he laid the groundwork for Boris Johnson. He proved that anybody can be the Prime Minister of Britain as long as they're filthy rich and have just no morals at all. Yeah. So then, of course, behind him came Boris Johnson, who made people nostalgic for Cameron.
Boris was just visiting Israel and. Yeah. It looked like an unmade bed and his hair combed over his eyes. Uncombed over his eyes, pardon me. Okay, we're still picking on
and,
him.
I got
as far as Matthew Green and
Fred Hahn.
Fred Hahn, but Sid Ryan also spoke. I've got to get her name right. Ajama, pardon me.
Sarah Jama, the MPP for Hamilton Center. So Hamilton is a is a real hotbed of resistance to the empire. Their politicians are stepping up.
According to Karl Marx, it's because there's a bunch of workers there.
Yeah, that has something to do with
it. It is a union city, and it is very class conscious. By the way, being Hamilton, they're very class conscious about Toronto. Like, hey, we could beat you at football, and we could beat you at other things. But I think, here's what's important. And also, one of the regional directors of of UNIFOR spoke. I understand that she is of Eritrean descent background. And I take my hat off to all of them. I mean, but particularly, we often give UNIFOR a hard time on one subject or another, but they are they're in the forefront. And they deserve a lot of credit. And they, this matter of Sarahjama, the NDP has, frankly, mishandled this matter. Where we all ought to be, job one regarding Sarahjama, who is the elected representative of an area of Hamilton, is to go after the premier and his party for smearing her, not only for silencing, which is outrageous because she is the elected representative, and they brought in a censor thing, which is a echo, or some would call it a rhyme, with what happened in the United States Congress, where a Republican-led attack on Congresswoman Tlaib. It's interesting, isn't it? Two black women, one in Canada, one in the United States, find themselves being targeted and then finding that their friends and associates can't figure out how to respond. But in the case, we don't need to go to Congresswoman Tlaib, who, by the way, is a very strong supporter of the United Auto Workers. But in the case of Sarahjama, she has been smeared by the premier. He used words like anti-Semite.
Yes, he did.
Now, that is outrageous, and it can't be allowed to stand. The NDP should be on its feet and say, you better withdraw that remark. You better stop talking anywhere using bigoted language towards Sarahjama. If you want to address the actual content of her thought on the subject of Gaza or the resolution of the Palestine issue, but you don't get to smear people, which is what he did. And to my mind, this is where the NDP is fumbling the ball, because he is a problem. In terms of the people of Ontario, the big problem is you have a premier who talks in a bigoted way about an elected member, and is getting away with it. Instead, they've tangled themselves up in their own caucus issues, which you should be big and smart and resolve such things. This is, if you're wondering who's raving at the moment, this is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT, and we want you to call us up at 416-946-7800, or call us if you are in Crimea, we'd like to hear from you, or Hong Kong, or Shanghai. 1-888-204-8976.
1-888-204-8976. You can reach us from anywhere in the world with that. And of course, if you're on the internet, you can reach us at CIUT.FM.
The best way is go CIUT.FM.
Yeah.
Use your plastic, create $100,000. Like, boom.
That's right.
As quickly as you could.
I mean, look at this guy, Bankman-Fried. He could create $1 trillion just using plastic and going boom, right? Except they caught him, and he has to give it all back, right?
Oh, he was giving it to the Democratic Party,
right?
And so the judges are kind of smiling because they've gotten money from the Democratic Party themselves. Isn't corruption fun?
Yeah.
Look up the New York mayor if you want to see, get a laugh. His finance, what was it? His campaign finance manager. the daughter of a friend of his.
Right.
At any rate, they came and got all his stuff because they said that Turkey was giving him money. Turkey?
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
That is not an easy one to figure out. But
I want to mention, by the way, when I listed those speakers, Matthew Green and Fred Hahn and Sid Ryan, and I was reminded that one of our really dear and close associates, Peter Leibovich, would have been in that, has been in that mix, and together with Sid Ryan and others, put this issue of the Palestinians on the agenda in Canada, and did a wonderful job. We always think of him, and when we say that, that reminds us too of another militant trade unionist and artist, Karen Snooks of the Canadian Postal Workers, who, together with Peter Leibovich, waged many, many struggles for the workers, but also for on international issues. She was a terrific artist and a wonderful person and a strong supporter of the Taylor Report. So at times like this, we say, let us remember and in their names build the Taylor Report and build the great station. The standalone, I like that, standalone, but not alone, station. And go to CIUT.FM, donate, and mention the Taylor Report. In terms of who was on the program, Phil, you mentioned we had Dimitri Lascaris. When the war in Ukraine was a burning issue, and he did something we've always advocated, go, and if you can, get as close as you can to see. So that, because, frankly, all media filter and shape and manipulate, and if you can actually do your own work, you'll be better off. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we've mentioned this, I think it was Edward Dahlberg said that in America, if you went into a room, all the American people were in the same room, and there were two doors, and over one door it says, God, and over the other door it said, lecture on God, all the Americans would go to the lecture. So we're not like that. We'd open the door and go see. So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. You go to CIUT.FM, donate, and mention the Taylor Report. And talks about what we do on this show. This past summer, we did something. We worked very hard on a subject, and we are still on the subject of Eritrea and Eritrean Canadians who came under attack this past, gosh, I guess it was August.
It was during the summer, that's right.
At a park here in Toronto, Earls Court Park, and they every year have a four-day festival, but this one was attacked, and people were injured, and the festival was destroyed. There was no festival because of the attacks. No one was arrested. Nobody's been charged. And these council members couldn't be found to do anything or say anything. And the mayor said one thing. This is, what's the word they like to use? This is not acceptable.
Yeah.
You say, well, why did we accept it?
Yeah.
It was accepted.
Yeah.
How could it not be accepted?
We seem to have accepted it because we let these people, whoever they were, break up something that had a permit to be operating, had operated for many years, and they broke it up. And then who they are, they maybe even identified themselves.
It happened here. It happened in Calgary.
Yeah.
It happened in BC. And it happened in Germany. It happened in wherever. The Eritrean community.
Sweden. Big one in Sweden.
All it was is it's a national day for Eritreans. It precedes the birth of the country. It's actually older than the country itself in terms of marking it here in Canada. But we learned all this by, you know, taking where we came in was the Taylor Report. We wanted to know why someone was permitted to destroy somebody else's event, destroying property and harming, injuring people, and with no consequence. And that's proof that imperialism exists, because in Germany, nothing happened. Sweden, nothing happened. And so all these festivals were attacked. So, again, we talked about it on the Taylor Report. Glad to have done it. Which is why we believe we're providing a service and information that you frankly won't get anywhere else. That's why you should go to CIUT.fm and donate and make it to the Taylor Report. And keep in mind, we'd like to have 100 grand. So if you have 100 grand laying around, you can solve the matter in one stroke. It would be a happy event if you would do that.
That's 416-946-7800, 1-888-204-8976, and on the web, CIUT.fm. And I think we're going to get a name.
That's what I get for closing the door. Now we have to open it. So, Ken and Kay, thank you very much. And Tony. And this is important, just for a detail of information, and some of our listeners may not know it. Alejandro Morales, a dear friend of ours, a wonderful man, a Chilean, who, of course, had to flee Pinochet, made a wonderful contribution to this country. He was a regular radio personality, Spanish language station, and he was also in the old UAW, I believe, and then he was at CAW, and I guess he was Unifor. These guys have been changing their shirts. It's kind of like the Montreal Alouettes. But Alejandro was a warm gentleman. And incidentally, he helped us producing our show because we did an interview recently, and we're going to go back to it too because it's now November, on Argentina. We had an Argentine Canadian journalist who told us about this. They're very peculiar developments in Argentina. They have a kind of a if you can believe it, a Trump type that's worse than Trump, and who could end up president. And
Still could. That's still not decided. Yeah.
Pardon me?
That's still not decided.
No, it is not decided. Going to be, I believe we're due for election. There's a runoff situation. I think there's three candidates. I'm not absolutely sure. But she gave us everything we needed to know in one program, and it was great. But that was thanks to Alejandro Morales. So Alejandro has passed away, and so here, as recent as now, practically, he's helping the Taylor Report produce a quality program on the subject of Argentina and South America generally. So thanks very much to Rod for that, for the contribution in the name of Alejandro Morales, called Alex. And hey, Joe, pardon me, that's not a good time to be swallowing. Joe, thanks very much. All made donations. And I guess I could say Joe Broglie, and for those who don't. When I say some of the first names, everybody, all our listeners know these people because they've been on the show or in and out. But we got to get Joe Broglie in here, by the way. So this is the Taylor Report. Go to CIUT.fm and hit donate and mention the Taylor Report. There's a lot of great programming. We have Ruby Slippers, which is one of our favorites. And all these shows, in my mind, you won't hear them anywhere else. Diversity is us, you could say. There's a use of that term. People like to say, oh, we're very diverse, when they're not. But CIET is. So another reason. Hey, call us up, 416-946-7800. 416-946-7800. And donate. And remember, the target number, the one we're looking for, is 100 grand. And we wouldn't mind topping it up. We wouldn't mind going over the top, have more than 100 grand. So, Phil, the other thing, we've been talking about this issue. You attended the demo.
Yeah.
Did you see these speakers? I mentioned it.
I could hear them. I couldn't see them. I was actually.
That's how big it was.
That's right. I was actually close to the dais, but my view was blocked. But the sound system they set up was very good, and so the speeches came across clearly, and I really enjoyed how disciplined the speakers were. Nobody was freelancing and bringing up wild stuff or handing issues to the right wing press to hit people over the head with. They were very much, they stayed on topic. I want to say a word about Fred Hahn. Fred is he's a friend of mine. He's a colorful guy. He's a wonderful fellow. He's the Ontario president of CUPE. And from day one on this, he's been very vocal in his support of the Palestinians. And Doug Ford zeroed in on him right away. He made his usual, you know, bigoted, nasty remarks. Mm-hmm. And the Toronto Sun would always be counted on, of course, to be as ignorant as possible. But they started running things like saying, like, well, what are we going to do about CUPE? They're going to have to get rid of Fred Hahn. This can't be allowed to happen and all this sort of stuff. What it just happened is that CUPE's convention was coming up like a few weeks later, right? And the convention was just held, and Fred has been reelected by all of the locals of Ontario to be president of CUPE Ontario. And to me, it's a wonderful moment because you had the press all ganging up saying, we're going to put Fred out of business. Yeah, like, Fred's going to go away, right?
Going to talk over his head to his members, the old boss's trick.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the contract, guys. Your leaders are lying to you, right?
Yeah.
The old trick. Go on.
That's all there is to it. Fred got reelected, and the people of CUPE are very proud. And you know, a year ago, CUPE threatened a general strike over some piece of very tyrannical legislation from Ford, and Fred was out at the front, you know, leading that and guiding it and inspiring people. And CUPE members don't forget that, right? Because and they won, and Ford backed down, and now he's just backed down again because he said, we're going to do something about CUPE, we're going to do something about Fred Hahn, and they didn't, you know, and they couldn't.
No, CUPE closed ranks. By the way, we have unions that are so solid that nobody even talks about it anymore. You know, they just say, yes, we support the recognition of the Palestinians. We want to see a Palestinian state. And people, it's no longer, you know, people running into the street thinking that the devil's got them, you know. They're quite comfortable with that. That's what we talk about, a generational change. And Doug Ford's the epitome of the guy with a tin ear. He has no idea of what the public is actually doing or thinking. And he thinks because he got the job that they're doing what he's telling them to do, which if he would check, they're not. They're definitely not doing what he would.
Right, and his buddies, of course, is lining their pockets. I mean, that's business number one at the provincial government.
Well, you know, speaking of him again, and we on this show, we recently spoke to the Rabbi David Mivesher. What an odd day to begin stuttering. Mivesher. Mivesher is he's a cultural hero. Yeah. He's not trying to be, but he is. He went off to the United States and walked into the Congress building along with the Not in Our Name movement, where so many Jewish leaders who are calling for peace and for actual political solution. And courageous people leading the demonstrations in New York, Washington. Now, David Mivesher went there, was part of that, where 300 Jewish leaders were arrested in the within the Congress building. Then he was back here leading demonstrations. He spoke at this rally yesterday. David Mivesher spoke. So keep that in mind, because when Sarah Jama was called an anti-Semite by the premier, David Mivesher spoke. He says, wait a minute, I'm Jewish, you're not, and she's my friend. So be careful. Don't be careful. Stop. Well, now, David Mivesher, we've turned to him many times because he's a very sharp individual. He's, like you just mentioned, someone who's very disciplined in his thought and in his speech, but he's also someone who helps make the environment safe for everyone, because he fights bigotry, he fights racism, and he doesn't play one side of the street against the other side of the street, try to harm, get people riled. He's had a helpful and calming influence, and we should say there will be no peaceful resolution until people use principled political language and stay away from incitement and from inflaming the situation, which is another knock, I'll go back to it, a knock on Doug Ford, is he is inflammatory. Things he said about Sarahjama cause people to become angry. And when they do, they will act. And I know this from military training. The higher up in the ranks you are as an officer, the more careful you better be with how you, the words you use. Because the people under, well, you can say something sharp and angry, and that is going to lead to excessive violence on the part of your troops. And it's also that applies to civilians. When leaders talk in an inflammatory way, people get their houses, windows broken, people get things scrawled, or they accost each, blindly attack somebody on the street, which Toronto, Montreal, New York, across North America, we're seeing this. And the sober and sensible leaders have to be a calming influence. And going back to David Mivesser, who was on the Taylor Report, he's one of the people doing it, I'd say, doing it the right way. And Phil, you just described meetings. That's really important. Major union figures, major political figure, Matthew Green, give him all the credit in the world for having stood to that in front of that crowd, because he becomes an example. We're at a very important historical juncture. That's why you need CIUT, by the way. That's why you need the Taylor Report.
Let me give the phone numbers here. Cause
hey, please do.
I'm sure somebody's enjoying this commentary and has forgotten to phone in, but you should do it now. 416-946-7800. If you're in the center of the universe, if you're anywhere else, it's 1-888-204-8976. And you can do it online, ciut.fm, and there's a donate button, and you donate. And of course, if you give $89.50 or more, you become a member of CIUT. Of course, you're going to get a tax receipt if you give $25 or more. So that actually means, the tax receipt means basically you're giving.
You know, the 89.5 is a good. That was a creative idea.
It was.
Somebody upstairs in this outfit thought of that.
We don't admit no inflation on it. It's $89.50, you know. And then, of course, I want to repeat, if you give $500, and I'm sure there's listeners there who could, you're going to get a two-hour program that you're going to get to put together and produce with the assistance of the professional staff and the volunteer staff at the station. So that's a deal you can't turn down.
And you could go on the Classical Underground, Wednesday 68, and play all the classical things that you like, and Phil might put his hands over his ears on, but he lets you do that.
That's right. I absolutely pledge that I will not put my hands on the ears, and I'll listen to whatever music you choose.
I will pretend to like what you like. There's a heartfelt promise to pretend. All right, this is, go to CIUT, CIUT.FM, donate. And then when it says, well, to what program? You say, the Taylor Report. And we'd be much obliged. 416-946-7800. Love to hear from you. We've had a lot of wonderful people support us over time, and we always like to hear from them, and they carry us on their shoulders. Just mentioning this crisis, let's go back to Memorial Day, and which was what, November 11th, the 11th hour, the 11th day.
That's called Armistice Day.
Yeah, Armistice Day. Thank you. Armistice Day.
Yeah, the Americans have something called Memorial Day.
Oh, you outed me, didn't you?
Yeah,
Armistice.
I mean, I have the same fault.
We wouldn't mind an armistice right now, by the way. It led to a peace agreement.
Right. So, I mean, somebody showed up at an Armistice Day event the other day, and a woman, and she had a sign about Gaza and said, let's have a ceasefire, let's have peace. And she's standing at a November 11th commemoration, which is commemorating something, and people start screaming at her. I go, you don't make any sense.
Everybody take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Well, so what we've been saying, and we said at the time when we were speaking about the Armistice annual event, that our parliament, let us never forget, disgraced us before the whole world.
Did you have to mention this? Oh, my God.
I have to mention, before the whole world, we were invited to stand up, everybody in parliament, and applaud and applaud and applaud a humble man who looked down and waved his hands and showed solidarity and fought back tears, who was a Nazi. The whole parliament. And who was there but the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, and the prime minister. So we want a remedial, class for all members of parliament to please look into the history books and tell us who fought in World War II against the genocidal regime of Adolf Hitler, which was the pure undisputed case of a genocide regime because it was founded on the concept of racial superiority of a particular people who then called other people Untermensch and either worked them to death or killed them outright. So our parliament applauded one of them. Phil, have you noticed there's really no call to, well, could we maybe look into whether he should be removed from the place?
No, although
It's impolite for
some
me to suggest.
Some countries in Europe, however, have said, thank you for bringing this to our attention. This guy should be actually back here in front of a court. Three countries have said that, actually.
No, we allegedly had some kind of awkward apologies, I think it was. I'm trying to figure out what it was that Trudeau did, but we cannot forget this. And the Taylor Report, CIUT.FM, donate, Taylor Report, addressed this. It was the ambassador to Poland, the Polish ambassador to Canada said, we are not going to accept the whitewashing of a war criminal. We're not going to do it. And he hasn't gotten an apology, by the way.
No.
And someone said, well, shouldn't you apologize to Zelensky, which is kind of a private joke in the circles around Zelensky, because he, after all, has a national holiday in the name of Mr. Bandera, who also he killed more Poles than he did Jews. Bandera was a piece of work, but we're supposed to apologize. So they asked the Prime Minister of Canada. You're learning this only on the Taylor Report. They asked the Prime Minister, well, "Have you apologized?" And he said, "By diplomatic courier or something." And you say, Canadians would like to see that. what could you show us the wording? And by the way, Ukraine didn't ask for an apology. Ukraine treated it like, let's go home, okay? And you say, why would they? I thought they were part of the big Democratic front. No. Yeah. So, you're sort of like hanging questions, hanging in the air.
Yeah.
In the future, we're not going to talk about the armistice of November 1918, but without mentioning, it is also the anniversary of the hanging in Chicago of the people known as to labor and as founders of May Day because it's remembered in their name. The Haymarket Martyrs were hanged on November the 11th.
That's a detail I didn't know. That's
1888.
Yeah.
1888. They were, and as one of them said, in saying goodbye to the earth, he said, "Well, we were tried for murder and convicted of anarchism because none of them had done anything. They were known to have radical opinions on all kinds of subjects. By the way, they were not of one group. They were not all like, this was not a guys who met every night. A couple of them didn't know each other. And I think altogether there were six or seven accused and four in.
And they were mostly immigrants, right?
Yes. They were, except for Parsons,
right,
best known.
Right.
Parsons.
And the speech that got one guy in trouble was given in the German language, right? Which is the speech that got one guy in trouble was given in a, he gave a public speech in the German language, and he was
Well, yes and no. That's Mr. Spies, who was the editor of a paper, a German language paper. And he was a very strong propagandist. By the way, it's interesting, just because, and we did this on the Taylor Report, we often do, explained that at that time in history, the word anarchist and socialist meant the same thing to people. Ordinary people, now that I think of it, they still think that. It's like, I once talked to Morty Scheer in New York, who was at the Battle of the Bulge, was an American communist, and a founder of the Progressive Labor Party. And I said to him, why say communist? And he said, Phil, if you're not in the Republican Party and you're not in the Democratic Party, people assume you're a communist. If you say, I'm a vegetarian, they say, oh, yeah, communist. It's pretty much the same thing, vegetarian, communist, anarchist. So the poor devils were hanged. May Day grew out of that historic moment. And they were not just guys who put out a paper. They were workers' leaders. They were all quite well known in the Chicago area. Parsons was called the American wing of the Socialist Party. And Spies was part of the German American. And they did, they spoke German. We talk about these things on the Taylor Report. And so it's time to say, CIUT.FM, donate. CIUT.FM, donate. Call us up, 416-946-7800. And call us at 1, this is out of town, if you're in Shanghai, I don't know why I'm fixated on Moscow. We wouldn't mind hearing from Moscow. That's why we interviewed.
Well, we're not allowed to on the regular press, I'd like to have someone from Moscow call us up and tell us what's going on.
fun fact. I'll tell you, if you are in Moscow, you can call us at 1-888-204.
8976. See, we got a good tandem team here.
I'm going blind in front of the news. Here's the deal. We want peace in West Asia. We want to see a Palestinian state. We want freedom for all people there. And we want people to understand that there have been international agreements. It's been, when they established, when it all began in 1918, the British, pardon me, 1948, it did begin in 1918, but we'll move forward. 1948, it was going to be one state. India, under Nehru, refused to go along. They and several other countries, I think Brazil, said, no, we don't agree on two states. We think it should be one. That was Nehru's hardline position. But then it was agreed based on the reports of people in the region, the UN people. They said, well, this is not going to work. We're not going to have two states. Okay, so the time came, and Israel was declared itself a state. The first country to recognize them as a state de jure was Russia, not the United States. The two big players were Russia and the United States. Harry Truman instead of using an ace, he used a wild card. The wild card said, or the joker said, de facto. So he was playing games. But Russia said de jure. And so here we are today, where Russia is not permitted to be a part of this, yet they were in on the first decision, which we're still living with, and is a nightmare. And it is not going to be resolved unless it goes back into the international arena and out of the hands of Joe Biden, out of the hands of Trump, out of the hands of Obama, out of the hands of Carter, out of the hands of Bill Clinton. It's got to be Russia, China, France, Britain. They have to agree, because any one of them can sabotage an agreement. So you have to say, no, you come in the room, sign the agreement. We're all going to be in on this. So the reason we are in a nightmare at the moment is because America hangs on to the idea that it is the indispensable, exceptional state. And you learn such things at the Taylor Report, CIUT.FM, and go to that, CIUT.FM.
416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976 and mention the Taylor Report when you give your money.
Hey, and thanks to Roman and Andre Penny, Peavy, my apologies. You're a great person, so I kind of get this right. Roman Richmond. Hey, speaking of which, we have Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist, periodically, who Norman has this great memory and great knowledge of music and history, and he reminds us of names that we have to know about in both music
and, you know,
and
one thing
politics.
That Norman does is it reminds people that black music and a black community have been a vibrant part of Toronto for a very long time, because it is not something that you see reflected in the culture or you see reflected in the popular news of the area. And he's like an encyclopedia. You know, you bring up some singer who might have sung in downtown Toronto in 1954, he'll know about it, right? And he'll tell you who was there.
Well, not only that, Norman will say, well, yeah, I was with him. I remember... you know, he talked about Aretha Franklin, the last time he saw her and what the news was. Yeah. And in the 10 minutes we have, this is, I want to remind you, the Taylor Report. And we are part of a vital, terrific, standalone, brilliant station, the little big station that delivers for all our listeners and reflects all of Toronto. We are a multicultural, multi-faith, and... particularly multicultural. The music is fabulous from every part of the world, which is why you should donate to the station. But since we're here, we want you to donate and mention the Taylor Report. You go to CIUT.FM, donate. And then when it says, and what program, you say Taylor Report. And call us up, 416-946-7800. Phil, on the I don't know if they addressed it. I by the way, the internet is fascinating. One of the things I love about it and hate too, is that now when you read an article, you can read underneath the article what a lot of people think about the article.
Yes, and that's a distraction. But you certainly can.
But you should do it. It's kind of like, well, you know what it is. It's like being in a public performance. And
the hecklers,
the heckler, but also the applause, or lack of applause, and it's like, in a way, it's like being a little bit of theater, and it also takes the wind out of egos, because somebody says, boy, you got that wrong, but looking at this, I was seeing that some people were commenting on the demonstration on yesterday, and someone said, well, did you mention the hostages, and are you for freeing them? And I hope they did, but here's what we have to make sure people understand, is that there are more than 9,000 political prisoners, and this is prior to October 7th, this is just a fact, more than 9,000 political prisoners, Palestinians, many thousands of whom were arrested on the West Bank, which is not, it is occupied territory, it should not be under Israeli authority. Israel is holding these people. So I would say there's a material basis to solve the hostage thing. Exchange prisoners. But I don't see people making this understandable.
That's right. And the mainstream press is not talking about that fact. But if you understood how many Palestinians are in Israeli jails...
Freedom all, all includes the 9,000 plus.
Yeah.
9,000 plus. If you instead, you know, there's this... Bob Pedden, thank you. Wow. This is CIUT. Mr. Petten helped us out, and we really are grateful. CIUT.FM, donate to Taylor Report. Be real. Prisoners have been exchanged throughout history. There's more than one group who are regarded by their people as prisoners. In Gaza, they tell us, and incidentally, the numbers scare me because they fluctuate. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody said, there's 250. Then they say, no, there's 200. And please make a comprehensive list and who they are and keep them safe. But I would say to the military commander who said, we're not talking to anybody, we're just going to attack and we're going to deprive people of food, water, electricity. Please remember, there are hostages there. And in military terms, it is not wise to kill hostages or cause them to die through your actions. You should, everything that could be done to keep them alive should be done. Yeah. And the first thing would be to acknowledge, yes, Israel is holding prisoners, which they regard as legitimate, but on the other side, they're holding prisoners. Okay, so we got two guys with prisoners. So trade. Save those lives. By the way, that would require a ceasefire.
Right. By the way, the Russians and Ukrainians are fighting a very, very bitter battle. But for the last 18 months, they have regular exchanges of prisoners, sometimes hundreds at a time. And it's, no fuss, no bother. There's people who negotiate these exchanges, and the exchanges take place. And it's actually something that goes on during war, right? Yeah. So why can't it go on here?
Exactly. Absolutely. Robin Eaton. Here's a name that really rings a bell.
Yes. Hi. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for supporting us.
Yes. That is such a pleasure to see the name. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT.FM. Donate. Mention the Taylor Report. We would be very pleased if you would mention. And again, going back to our point, these are the issues we work on. And we do bring, we think, fresh information, like today, Phil's reporting on the demonstration yesterday, but particularly the politics of it. I'm very proud of the fact that in Canada, and incidentally, when I see the summary of all the demonstrations in the world, it was great to see Toronto with the streets full, because who ever heard of such a thing here? And I have to share with you, last week we spoke to Robin Philpott. There were 50,000 in Montreal. The main speaker was a rabbi, and I'm sorry I don't have his name, but according to Robin, the speech was brilliant. And I don't know if this rabbi has any association with Benjamin Netanyahu, but I would like him to counsel him on the subject of citations from the Bible. Because
yes.
Don't go to Samuel 1 as your foreign policy, because we...
Good advice.
we checked it out here, and as far as we know, it calls for the annihilation of people. Yeah. It does.
It does, literally.
And I know that rabbi would not approve. My intuition tells me that he wouldn't approve of that. So again, the best thing to do is get on the line here. 416-946-7800 to donate to the Taylor Report. And we're looking for 100 grand, and feel free to give it the whole thing. This is Phil Taylor, and I'm joined here by Phil Cunn. Phil will be on Wednesday. By the way, we also do on Saturday, which is associated with a cultural show. Phil and I have a little bit of culture. Not a lot, but a little bit of culture.
And
we have Lynn Slotkin.
I think Jesse McDougal, Tracks from Abroad, is up next. Is that right? That's right.
Yeah, Tracks from Abroad.
Tracks from Abroad. A great program, by the way. I really like it.
Yeah, we're trying to get all the money for our side because we know they're going to get rich on them and put us to shame, put us in the shade. Yeah. Yes, I like the term that we're using a lot, which is a standalone station. Right. And that means that we need everybody to stand with us in the sense of, it's a unique station and we got unique support. So go to CIUT.FM, donate, and mention the Taylor Report. You can call us at 416-946-7800.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.